Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Otaku Podcast with your host, Hector. Oh, I should probably turn off my phone because it should not be ringing during my recording. Snapchat be going crazy. It's not like the girls hit me up anyways. As always, I'm always happy that you guys are here with me today just to sit down and relax and just talk nerd stuff. Now, as mentioned in the statement that I released on the Instagram accounts, TikTok, and there's one more, Snapchat, I'm going to keep this episode kind of like the first one, more brief, tackling down two major subjects. One, Superman, Superman, Superman. Yes, sirree. Pretty much more in-depth review, and it's also going to be some spoilers, so, you know, this is your chance to stop the podcast, like, pause it now, okay? And then come back to it when you're done watching the movie. I will be addressing the haters of the film as well. These are the Snyder fanboys, his little sheep-like ones that just can't get over change. I will be addressing you guys first and foremost. And then after that, this will be a continuation of how I feel about WWE fans for the most part who are still talking trash about AEW's All In Texas because the women from WWE put on a stellar show from Women's Revolution or Evolution. And so it will be amazing to see how they do next year because Triple H announced that this will be happening next year as well after saying, well, I don't know about this. Dude, well received. Keep it going. That's what he's doing. And then finally, to conclude the episode, I will share some updates in regards to the podcast, some positive updates, mind you, and also some personal things in life. You may not care, but hey, I'm still going to share it anyways. Let's cut to the chase. Superman, Superman, Superman. Mostly well received, and people express why they are receiving it well. Talking about the facts regarding James Gunn portrayal of Superman, talking about James Gunn's, you know, care that he has for superhero movies and the projects that he's working on, even down in the future. James Gunn, as I said before in the first episode, perfectly portrayed Superman. Now, I'm watching some behind-the-scenes footages of David Corenswet, who plays Superman. You can tell that this guy was born to play Superman. You can tell that he enjoys playing Superman. And it was so impressive seeing behind the scenes stuff, you know, filming locations and David hanging out with the little kiddos and their families and just having fun. And it was so heartwarming to see how David was carrying these kids around and just spinning them like he was a superhero. And even with some interviews of these kids that were in the film, they had a blast. They had fun filming and they literally saw David Corenswet as Superman. That is a testament to how well of a job James Gunn does when casting his characters. It is incredible to see. And you see the positive light that David Corenswet portrays as Superman. The casting is well done. Throughout the film, and this is where the spoilers are happening now, guys, so last chance to pause it. Okay, I'm going to count down from 3, 2, 1. David Corenswet Superman got his butt beat so bad, I would say probably throughout the first three quarters of the movie. And even in the first scene of the movie, you had the narration going on, showing about how he came to Earth briefly, like in one sentence, showing how old he was when he accomplished this milestone, that milestone, until the point he became Superman. And it made note that he didn't lose any battles up until now. And then after that narration, that little slide or whatever, the caption disappears, you see Superman's body just fall straight to the ground like a jet going down. And it was hard. So, Superman is badly beaten, and this was actually portrayed in the trailer, so really there's no spoiler to that. But he was beaten bad, almost to the point of death, calls Krypto. Krypto gets him, picks him up, takes him to the Fortress of Solitude, and he was able to recover. Now, Superman, throughout the movie, as I said, gets beaten bad. And this is where the human side of it comes from, and why I really appreciate James Gunn's portrayal of it. Of the character, I mean. It's because Superman relates to humans. He understands human emotion. He grew up a human, basically. Although he was sent down from Krypton as an infant, he grew up with humans, so he understands their relations. He understands their behaviors. He understands the weaknesses, the strengths that humans possess. And he, as a result, reflects off of that. He understands that. He knows how to relate to humans. So yes, throughout the movie, he's vocal. He jokes here and there. He has a little corny puns here and there as a little nerd, as Clark Kent portrays working for, you know, the newspaper outlet and the news outlet. He did it good because he understands humans. He's also emotional throughout the film. We see strong emotions when Crypto was captured after being beaten in the Fortress of Solitude, you see how Superman feels about the dog. And he's getting in the face of Lex Luthor. He's ready to beat down Lex Luthor. He's probably ready to beat the daylights out of him to the point of death. But he doesn't do it. He has restraint. And the reason why he had that restraint is because even throughout the film, towards the final act, people hated Superman. They put him down. Social media went crazy putting down Superman, calling him names and things like that. Trying to break the character, trying to make that human side of Superman corrupted because of the hate that he received. Negative feedback and things like that. Superman battled through that in the entire film down to the end. When people saw that he was real, that he was there to save mankind, they softened their hearts and they were able to adapt as a result. The fighting scenes were incredible. People said that it was poor CGI, which I'm trying to figure out where there was poor CGI at, because I'm looking at this, coming in hot and ready to critique the movie myself, because as a person who loves comic books, I want to make sure that these movies perfectly portray the characters that are on screen. So although I was having my expectations low to medium, I was also going to be critical about the flaws, which I will be. As I mentioned, there were some silly moments throughout the movie. It's a James Gunn film, so what else do you expect? Silly dialogue, silly moments, some even cringe moments. Like that one chick that was taking selfies galore and doing all she wanted to do to take a picture in front of a city getting destroyed. But later on, as you learn, she came in clutch for Jimmy Olsen because she was able to send out some important pictures behind the selfies, the images behind the selfies, that they were able to expose Lex Luthor's plan for world domination. And as a result, it all caught up to Lex Luthor because of those leaks that happened as a result. Now, we get back into those cringy moments. There was one in particular that stood out, and you guys probably saw on TikTok, you guys probably saw on different social media outlets, but I'll make it short. The monkeys. The angry monkeys. That made my spine cringe really bad when I first saw it. But then I come to realize something. After coming home from the theater, you know, really thinking about the movie and taking it in, you know, so I can come up with the proper words and explanations behind my review of this movie. I think James Gunn did that on purpose. It didn't necessarily play an important factor in the movie. The movie probably would have been better without it, along with some other silly moments. But James Gunn being cunning and also, you know, quick-witted as he is, that, in my opinion, was a shot at Zack Snyder fans who cannot let the movie go as far as Henry Cavill's Man of Steel, the Justice League. You see, when Superman was captured by Lex Luthor and they were going inside that, I don't know, that portal or whatever, at least to a void in space, you know, you've seen many characters, some that you might know from Easter eggs that were captured. You see Lex Luthor explaining to Superman as they're going to his little prison cell what the monkeys were doing. They were his minions, brainless minions that he controls. So all they do all day, literally their only thing that they do nonstop, angrily, is post tweets, post Instagram posts, Facebook posts, any social media platform, how much they hate Superman and why he's a fraud, why people shouldn't trust Superman. He is corny. He is lame. He is not a hero. He is an immigrant. He is an alien. He is useless. All the negative things that these monkeys were doing, supposedly were people, according to what was spread out on social media. Little did the people know, these were brain-controlled monkeys doing this. Now here's the connection. Zack Snyder fans, Man of Steel fans, Justice League fans. Oh, what about Zack Snyder's Justice League? The 4 and some change hour of film that was supposed to be the final cut. They relate to you guys very much. You guys are spreading needless hate for the film. You guys are so angry that there's actually a good DC film that portrays Superman in a great way. You guys cannot get over it. And because of that, you're brainless like that monkey. And that's probably going to get me some shots here now because, you know what? That's a controversial statement. That is a controversial terminology in today's world that is so sensitive and tries to be politically correct. The fact of the matter is, the way that you guys spread the hate of the movie likens those monkeys that are spreading needless hate. And that's how I feel about that. You guys have to understand, as I said in the first episode of this podcast, that David Corenswet, with James Gunn's fine directing and fine leadership, was able to portray a Superman that we all came to love in the comic books. Someone that was a beacon of light. Someone that expresses positivity, that encourages positivity. Someone that spreads it all around where people can be positive. They feed off of it. They feed off that light. They feed off the encouragement. The way that he was able to withstand all the beatings, all the mistakes that he made throughout the movie, 3/4 of the movie getting beat down, he finally learned in the final quarter how to fight properly against all of the adversity that he faced, all of the battles that he faced. He learned because he's human at the end of the day. People say also in the hate comics that this movie tried to be woke. And that was based off James Gunn's comments when he said that Superman was an immigrant and he was hated for it. What is wrong with applying a fictional world to real life events? What we see today is exactly what we saw in Superman. A person who was trying to be positive, being an instrument of positive change, being shut down by the majority because people hate change. People hate positive changes. People hate resistance. People hate adapting to new things. All y'all Snyder fans are so stuck on Man of Steel and Henry Cavill. It was a great film in some respects, but let's be honest here. Does Henry Cavill portray Superman in the way that Superman is? Just like Christopher Reeve did? No. This version of Superman paid homage to Christopher Reeve's Superman. Positive, corny, silly, but a positive hope, a beacon of light. That is what David Corenswet's Superman portrays there. Now, some issues that I have with the movie, and there's only a few. I mentioned the silly moments throughout the movie, like the girl taking all the selfies and, you know, the one that was so obsessed with Jimmy Olsen, and we saw that throughout the film develop, and there were some funny moments, but also mostly cringe moments. Now, Nicholas Hoult, who plays Lex Luthor, this, in my opinion, was not the best Lex Luthor. I think, for me, that's where the little bias comes from Smallville. Now, that portrayal of Lex Luthor, that actor, definitely was the best live-action Lex Luthor. And, of course, throughout the comic books, we see Lex Luthor more serious, kind of reserved, but he's a genius. You see, he attacks subtly. He rarely attacks frontal, making it well known because he knows how to pretty much calculate his next steps. We got a glimpse of that with Lex Luthor in this film. He was able to calculate these steps. He was able to obsessively study Superman, and that's how he was able to beat Superman with his minions, with the brain-controlled individuals he was using throughout the film. Until later on, Superman was able to catch on. And that's when we see Superman win those fights at the end. And those fights were amazing, bro. Seeing Superman use the heat ray vision, seeing him body slam different characters in the movie, equal rights beating the ladies too, who were trying to fight against him, as far as those villains go. That's what's up, man. Like, that was cool to see. Another thing that I really appreciated from the film was more of the behind-the-scenes stuff. As mentioned, you know, with David portraying Superman, the kids love him, parents alike love him, things like that. That was really awesome to see, in my opinion. But also Crypto. Crypto made me want to get a dog. Seeing how restless and silly the dog was throughout the film, but also how loyal he was, protecting his master. And then we see that bond grow more and more and more. Because spoiler alert, Crypto was not Superman's dog in this film. He was Supergirl's dog, as we saw in the post-credit scene. And my, they got a good cast to portray Supergirl. An immature, silly, party animal who needs to also learn from her mistakes and get over that party scene so she can be a hero alongside Superman. And her film is coming out next year, so that's exciting to see. James Gunn, today, this is July 16th, he dropped the theatrical poster of Supergirl. And I cannot wait for that movie, because not only is the actress not bad looking, but she has the look in general to play Supergirl. Now, Snyder fans, one thing that I mentioned before, listen, as I said, Man of Steel was a good film in its own respects, because it was a different take than what we're accustomed to. If Zack Snyder were to first and foremost make an Injustice film like we've seen in the video game, the graphic novel, but also, you can see behind me, you know, the films, the animated films that portray Injustice and things like that, Henry Cavill's portrayal of Superman would have been perfect. Dark, emotionless, demented at times, twisted because he's broken as a result. He would have been perfect as a live-action Injustice Superman. Turned evil. That would have been perfect. But we think about now how Superman really is. He's not like that, man. And you guys have to understand that if you're continuing to resist change and lack the humility to accept the fact, oh, maybe this movie is good after all, you're going to be miserable and commenting hate the whole time. And people will be responding to it like myself. People are going to feed into it like I kind of am right now. But you're making yourself seem more immature. Because you know you're wrong. You know you're riding off nostalgia, off the good times from over 12 years ago when Man of Steel first came out. You have to accept new things. And that's the only way that you can really enjoy this movie, is going in with low expectations, not hoping that this is a Man of Steel 2.0. It's not. This is a different thing altogether. Because this version of Superman is more human. He loses battles, as I mentioned. He makes mistakes, as I mentioned. Loses his cool. He's emotional. But he learns from it. And he adapts to the situation. And that's how he was able to conquer Lex Luthor towards the end of the film. Without any proper one-on-one fights, he was able to beat him with words and actions against his minions. That's how he broke Lex Luthor. And that speech towards the end, you know, he makes mistakes. He knows it and he learns from it. That's what makes him human. Superman grew up as a human when he was on Earth, as I said before. Speaking of that, what about the parents of Superman, or Clark Kent, I should say? And those actors, Pruitt Taylor Vance and Neva Howell, who is Ma Kent, Pa Kent, they did such a good job. And a fun fact, a behind-the-scenes thing that I learned, now I don't know if this is true, but it might be true, knowing James Gunn, like how Crypto was inspired off of his dog that he actually rescued, Ozo, I think his name was, real name. You know, those two parents that portray Clark Kent's parents, they had a dialect coach help them to get that accent right. That Missouri or Kansas accent. The farmer's accent. You know what I'm saying? That accent took a little bit for them to learn. And they actually got Missouri farmers, old school Missouri farmers, with that accent on a day-to-day speech to help them both develop that speech. That was awesome. That was just a little detail that I really enjoyed from that movie. Awesome. And as I said before, 8.5 out of 10. I stand by it. I don't care what other people say. That was an honest review. That was me going in with expectations, but also being critical, because that's what I am. I'm critical about every movie that I see, because that's just me as a reviewer. And I'm honest. I will not hold things back at all in this. So you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, you already got spoiled, so, I mean, oh well. But go see it. It's going to be awesome, man. Just go in with low expectations, no hate, and just try out something new, and you'll be impressed. This is now the transition to my feelings towards WWE fans, as I addressed in my last episode of the podcast. And give me a second, I'm going to take a drink of my electrolyte drink. My throat's running dry because I'm talking nonstop. Similar to Snyder fans, for the most part, WWE fans hate change. They hate the fact that something could be better, even though you've been accustomed to something for so long. You see, with WWE, it's like McDonald's, right? We know McDonald's food is crap, but people still go because they grew up eating it. And the flavor is kind of the same still, even though it's not real food. It's not real good for you. But people still go ahead and get it because that's the thing to do. It's what the majority wants. You WWE fans who have been hitting me up on my personal accounts, social media accounts for the podcast and the like, you guys say that I don't know professional wrestling, which is an insult to me to an extent because, for one, I am sure 95% of you commenting on my pages and direct messages have never been in the wrestling ring, have never taken a bump, have never taken one simple suplex without losing your breath. Sorry, that's what it is. You guys may think you know because you've seen how the wrestlers may have spots called in-ring matches, and maybe you've seen some behind-the-scenes footages of how matches are rehearsed and worked on. But until you actually train, until you actually have a match, y'all have no word, or words rather, about whether I know what I'm talking about or not. Here's the thing. I've been watching professional wrestling for about 25 years. I lived through the Monday Night Wars. I've seen WCW compete against WWF. I've seen WCW's rise and also the fall of WCW. There was a moment in time when WCW could have thrown WWF out of business based on the consistency of the quality of shows. But then they started doing way too much and they were their own downfall. I remember seeing everything that WCW did wrong. And WWF and eventually took him out. I've met the Young Bucks. I've trained with Nick and Matt Jackson. You know, we've lost contact many years ago when I stopped wrestling because I decided to pursue my life spiritually and bring myself closer to God and help other people draw closer to God. That's why I retired. That's the real reason why. But I was training a lot. We all wrestled for Empire Wrestling Federation. Pacific Coast Wrestling before it became Pacific Coast Wrestling Ultra or PCW Ultra. That was based in Long Beach, California, EWF, San Bernardino, and Covina, California. I got to train with them, and it was awesome. Down-to-earth people, family men, they still live out in Rancho Cucamonga, which is in the Inland Empire. From my house, that was only about 40 minutes. Easy straight drive. So yeah. I know a thing or two about the ins and outs of pro wrestling, and also know, you know, Tony Khan's business strategy. But his version of professional wrestling is one that you all hate, unless WWE does it. As I said before, all the flippy stuff that y'all hate, all the blood spot fests that y'all hate, all the high flying, world-defying things that y'all hate. That's been done for many years. Don't y'all recall WWF thrived on that? Don't y'all recall that the ruthless aggression thrived on that? Don't y'all recall that in the OGWs or ECW days, that is what made it popular and it thrived as a result? But now, you guys hate it because it's not WWE. But lo and behold, if WWE does one crazy spot, or if one person gets busted open from a very dangerous spot, it is the greatest thing to mankind. But yet you still hate it when other promotions that include AEW does it. All In was a great event. All In was the best pro wrestling event last weekend when it, you know, was happening on the 12th. And I will say this, WWE also put on a great show, which was Women's Evolution. Amazing event that showcased the women, that shows that both promotions can have a strong women's division. But yet you guys always want to compare the two. Evolution was great. I am saying that as one who prefers AEW, Women's Evolution was a solid pay-per-view event, and that is pretty sad if you think about it. And this is not a dig at any equal rights or women in general. But you guys say, in your opinion, that you got the best wrestlers, when AEW says they got the best wrestlers, but yet you have the women's division put on the best show of the entire weekend. And that is comparing three shows that WWE put out to just counter-program AEW's single event, All in Texas. Make that make sense? You can't, because you know you're wrong. AEW had a solid match from beginning, or solid event from beginning to end. Yes, some weaker matches, but it is almost impossible to have high notes in every single match of an event, especially an event that runs from 4.5 to 5 hours. Almost impossible. But yet, AEW did it. You guys are accusing AEW of what WWE has been doing for many years. You guys are just salty and mad because maybe the thing that you don't prefer is better. And that's when you have to grow up and understand the fact that maybe you should try something different that is not with the crowd, but just the hardcore fans that enjoy it. The hardcore audience, which is what AEW appeals to. Those who actually know professional wrestling. Those who actually followed many of the talent for many years, even decades. As I said, I knew Nick and Matt Jackson. This was 15 years ago when we were all in EWF. From there, they went to Mexico. From there, they went to Japan and all over the world. And it came in full circle now that they're at AEW. And they are the founding fathers of AEW, along with Cody, along with Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, and of course, the president, Tony Khan. You guys have to understand that change is needed. Professional wrestling is fun again. Professional wrestling is cool again. And that is not because of WWE. That is because AEW was able to partner with different promotions around the world and bring in a new audience and bring in a different style of pro wrestling that we were accustomed to in WWE for a long time. I mean, so when did the Ruthless Aggression era end? Was it 08, I think it was, when they started going to PG? And then they went to whatever else happened after the different eras that happened. But again, just imagine from 2008 onward, you being accustomed to one thing in pro wrestling. But yet us, as pro wrestling fans, have followed many of these talents. Seth Rollins, CM Punk, even partly Cody Rhodes, Samoa Joe before he was in WWE, Shinsuke Nakamura before he was in WWE. I think I said AJ Styles already, right? Different talents. They were all in the indies. They were all, you know, wrestling in front of school gyms, cafeterias probably, backyards, parking lots. That's where they all originated from. So the fact that you're putting down AEW as being a big independent company or tier two company or second rate, you know, or immature company. Guess what? 3/4 of the WWE talent also came from the indies, and they also wrestled half of the AEW guys before going to WWE, and then went to going to AEW. Guess what? Brush up on your history. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two about pro wrestling. But don't you ever go at me and attack me for saying that I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to pro wrestling. My knee is jacked up to this day because of spots or mistakes that I made in the ring. I already had a complete knee reconstruction from a basketball injury, but that all led up from wrestling. And my knee is still jacked up to this day because I tore it again probably. Neck and back are messed up. Like, I have battle wounds to this day from wrestling. And I did that for 3 to 4 years. Although that was a very short stint compared to many people who retire, that was an awesome experience that I could take with me, that I could say, oh yeah, I can understand why they did this business decision. I can understand why this guy is hated. Man, he plays a great heel, a great face. Oh, those two guys will be a great team because I remember them from 15, 16 years ago. I know my things. That includes comic books. If you want to challenge me in that department, hit up my DMs and we can talk about it. But right now, when you guys attack me directly and go to my personal account to attack me, that really shows how immature you guys are and how you guys go above and beyond to share your wrong take, your immature opinion, because you can't grow up. You're just angry like that little monkey in Superman. That's what I gotta say about that. All right. Now that I went on a tirade about how I feel about Snyder fans who can't get over the fact that James Gunn's Superman is the best Superman since Christopher Reeve, now that I gotten over my distaste for WWE fanboys who want to attack other fans from different promotions, or of different promotions even, let's talk about the positive. So this podcast, you know, I've been working on it a lot behind the scenes, and it's only me that's working on it. I got no moderators, I got no producers, I mean, all this stuff is done by one person, that's me. And I try to balance my work in this podcast with my personal life, working for the school district, working as a minister, and things like that. And by the way, with the minister role that I have, it's all voluntary work. I do that for my love of God and love of people. And obviously the school district job kind of is, you know, encouraged by my ministry work. Because I'm helping people, I'm helping kids with special education, I'm able to bestow what I learn and apply it to my job. Being patient, being loving, being understandable, having empathy, things like that. And that's why I've been successful for the many years that I even worked in social services. So that being said, positive updates, guys, with this podcast. For one, I'll be starting a Twitch page for this podcast. I'll make a new YouTube account so I can post a video version of this podcast so you guys can see my horrendous face and also my facial expression when I'm angry. Also, too, I'm making sure that I can post these live. So I will not be posting live every single episode. You know, the streaming will probably happen every fifth episode of the podcast. So episode 5, 10, 15, 20, I mean, however long we go with this. My goal is to stream it on all platforms simultaneously. So TikTok, which is where I stream my video games now. Twitch, as I mentioned. YouTube. Now, I don't know if Instagram will do it yet. I didn't see an option just yet to stream it on Instagram Live. But I know for sure TikTok, Twitch, and YouTube I'm able to. And I hope to do it simultaneously because it would be horrible to do it one by one by one, switching every fifth episode per streaming platform that I have there. But that's it, man. Honestly, like, I wanted to just give you guys a more in-depth review of Superman, just going more into detail about my background as a pro wrestler and also the positive little updates that I have. I'm on break until August 15th. That's when I go back to work. So between now and then, I'm getting unemployment checks because I wasn't a district employee before August 15th. But after August 15th, I'll be officially a classified employee where I get the checks all year round, even on breaks. So the unemployment checks are getting me by. I'm not going to ask for donations, but if you guys want to donate, I will happily accept the donations because unless you've been unemployed and had the unemployment checks, you have to understand it's not a lot of money into it. It's just enough to get by. But yeah, man, so thank you all for joining me in this podcast. Hey, look it, I kept it within 35 minutes again. So there you have it. But thank you guys for hearing me out once again. Thank you for joining me in the Otaku Podcast, where nerds collide.